اهلا وسهلا مرحبا.
مركز صحابة اون لاين راديو empowering the
ummah. 8:04 Central African time, and you come into the segment Straight Talk, and a bonus edition with the Member of Parliament Ahmed Mansoor Sheikh Imam, the leader of the NFP. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me, how are you doing this fine beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmed?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, a very beautiful day in the city of Cape Town, I must admit. Blue skies out already, lovely, warm day. But all is well. But yes, still, you know, the Palestinian struggle continues. More and more people are being massacred. The Zionist state of Israel has not stopped. We've had a picket outside Friedenberg yesterday. That is in the west coast of Cape Town. There's going to be one shortly in Malmesbury. I think it's on the 19th. There's another one in Knysna, but taking it to different parts of the country in solidarity with the Palestinian cause. But I think what is very important, two things are very important here. For the first time, and I think I've said this before, the world has now realized exactly what is going on. And number two, and more importantly, the propaganda that was by the Israelis has not borne any fruit for them, because people, I think, all over have realized that all the proper beheading they were talking about, the massacres of women and things that they spoke about, the atrocities that were committed by Hamas that they were talking about, none of these things have proven, not a single one. And I think even that, the world has now realized that. Even locally, many people, many politicians, political parties have taken the opportunity to jump on the bandwagon and attack Hamas and others. But absolutely nothing has thus far been proven as far as atrocities being committed by Hamas. But what is clear, this is no longer about Hamas. It's no longer about just Gaza. But it's more about the gas that you find in Gaza. It's more about economic benefits to some of them. And for that reason, you find that the United States of America in particular, and then those all, and many other countries that have some level of power and control over the world, are very reluctant, but rather, you know, to come in and ensure there's a ceasefire. Is because they have a plan in place, and their plan is to wipe out Gaza once and for all from the map. And that's what it is about. But on the local front, there's a whole lot going on. I see the MK, the new political party, is starting to fly. They seem to be all over. Very interestingly, I think they were blocked out at the town hall in Pietermaritzburg. Itegwini ratepayers on the debt relief are up in arms, rightfully so, because there have been a billing error. Coincidentally, this billing problem that Itegwini sits with is going on for many, many years. You know, I remember that they paid about 500 million at one stage, and it was nowhere near ready. So that appears to be a serious problem. Once again, the issue in as far as pricing and how retailers are actually taking our people for a ride, and how the prices have increased to such an extent it's beyond the control of most of our people. Of course, not forgetting the leaky fruit. If you saw that they were found, some of the leaky fruit that people have purchased had found molds in them. So it talks back again about oversight over the quality of food products and medicines that are sold at retail outlets and wholesale outlets. Look at the risk that it poses to consumers. But on the issue of pricing, Brother Shepherd, you would be shocked. I'm not sure when last you walked into a supermarket, but in anticipation of this festive season, retailers and wholesalers, and remember, they are very consistent when it comes to their pricing, because you go to all their stores, the major five stores, outlet stores, you know, you would find that the pricing is exactly the same, with a couple items that are special. And let me tell you what is worse, those so-called specials that they are talking about right now are no specials anywhere. just do your mathematics or arithmetic when you go there, where they say 3 for 51 rand or 52 rand, whatever it is, you'll find how they have increased their prices, then trying to mislead you into believing that it's a special if you're buying 2 and 3, and even, and just divide it and see, comes nowhere near value for money. So, you know, something has to be done about this exploitation. The airlines, go right now and look at the cost of an airline if you want to travel between Durban and Johannesburg. Mm. They're up 1,000, 5,000 rand one way. That is how bad the situation is right now. That is how they're exploiting it. And we are sitting back, you know, where are these relevant authorities and departments that's supposed to be doing something about it? You know, nothing, absolutely nothing. So is being done about it. So, yes, you know, it's very difficult for particularly the pensioners and people who rely on social assistance and people that are unemployed. But more importantly, speak to a middle-class person today and see how many of them are complaining when they walk into the supermarket. I was yesterday speaking to management of a particular retail chain, and they were telling me, you know, how they pity these old people that come in there, you know, and what little they're getting for that money that they get as government assistance in terms of social relief. So you can see what the situation is and how these things are being exploited. And we choose to sit back and do nothing, just like the world has been doing nothing. Israel continues, right, on this bombardment on Palestinian territory, but there's a silence, you know, so clear silence from all over the world to such an extent. There are many, you know, archbishops and leaders in the different communities, and not necessarily in the Muslim community, that are up in arms, raising serious concerns, even going on to the extent and say the church cannot be silent with what is actually happening. And where all these organizations try to make this look like it's a Muslim-Christian thing, they failed miserably in being able to do that. There it is with the team that actually went in. They have come up and made it very clear with the number of Palestinian Christian and Jews who's also having their human rights violated by the Israelis. Brother Shafa, the most disturbing thing for me, is watching that video clip of many of them celebrating and rejoicing at the atrocities against the Palestinian people. You've got school children saying things that I can tell you that it's so tempting, you know, to want to take drastic action against them because of their comments, which is barbaric, you know. I mean, like statements like, oh, good, I want them all to die. I want Gaza to shut down. You know, things like that. I mean, really, what kind of, are these human beings? What are these? Even animals have feelings. Even animals have feelings. But not these people. So really, I think it's also created awareness all over the world. And I do hope that we take advantage of this. It's an opportunity to free us from this grip of power and control by a handful of countries. And I think if there was ever an opportunity, Gaza has created that conducive environment. And I think we need to take and exploit that and bring freedom to the world, inshallah.
Inshallah, you make a very valid point indeed. And, you know, America has been exposed for what it is, lying to the world that it is a democratic, it is a police state of the world, ensuring that, you know, freedom of people is guaranteed and the West will be free and Africa will be free as long as America is there. But America has proven itself to be a pro-Zionist supporter, a country run by Zionists and a country that has an agenda opposite to what it preaches. You know, showing the world a face that once upon a time that smiled and called people to the land of opportunities, a land of dreams, a land that will empower you. But now it's become clear as crystal that it is a deceiver of all deceivers. Amada, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think what is very clear is both of them are using each other. The Zionist state of Israel is using the United States of America, and U.S. is using them to accomplish their goals and their vision of a world controlled by themselves. And so that is what it is all about. The United States of America needs Israel. Israel needs the United States of America. And not forgetting the UK and France and Germany and many others. But particularly the United States of America, their survival depends on oppression, on division, on mayhem and chaos. Let us be very clear about that. And so they found in Israel an ideal partner to be able to continue a work together hand in glove to be able to maintain that control and sustain it. That is the problem that we are facing. So I want to say, start from the United States of America, you got a better world. Start from the United States. If you cripple the United States of America, Israel is not going to get the support it is getting. Nobody's going to get the support. And many other countries who want to come to the fore and support the Palestinian cause, who are afraid of what will happen, sanctions, the actions that the United States of America will take, cause mayhem, chaos, divide them, overthrow their government, and things like that. A lot of countries who are in support of the Palestinian cause, but are afraid. That is the only reason why they are not doing much about it. So if you deal with the United States of America, you will see how many of these countries will come to the war and support the Palestinian cause and create and will fight for a better world. So we've got to be able to help them, to help themselves to be able to do that. You don't blame some of these countries, because if you look at the history of the role that the United States played in causing chaos all over the world, okay? And these people are very vulnerable countries, you know. And I mean, look at what is happening in Pakistan. Is an ideal example. Ideal example of what's happening there. What do you think is happening in Sudan? You think the Sudanese is about themselves fighting? No. It's the oil, it's whatever, the minerals that they did, the natural resources that they have, that's the problem. It's exactly what is happening in Palestine. It's the natural resources that they are after. Particularly after Russia-Ukraine war. Suddenly there's no focus. You hear nothing about Ukraine. Nothing, nothing, nothing. It's now all about what's happening here. So again, I want to say, it's the United States. What should be happening, the world should be coming together, united in dealing with the United States of America. You deal with that monster, okay, I can tell you the world will be a better place. Israel and everybody else will come to the party. They will all come in line if you dealt to the United States of America.
Message says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam and Bruce Schaff. I'm already enjoying you both once again. May I add to what Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam says, America and both the Zionist state of Israel, both are warmongers, both are bloodthirsty, both have so much of blood on their hands that even the whole sea filled with blood will be ashamed by these two countries. It is the armament industry, it is the warfare, it is all these other histories that they have perpetrated. They have killed humankind. They have killed the spirit of humankind. They have taken away empathy, sympathy, and the quality of mercy. Ahmad, mercy is no more here. You can see it in the business place. You can see it in the governments, and you can see it in the people's homes today. Please, Ahmad, come and get your party and take away all this misery and mayhem, especially in your country, Kosi Zigelele, Africa. Hey, that's a powerful message, Ahmad.
Well, yes, Jazakallah, my brother. Appreciate your kind words. But again, you know, the concerns that the brother is raising is exactly what we're talking about. Our focus of attention is at the wrong place. Yes, our Palestinians are going through a very difficult time. But again, if the United States of America did not exist or have exert so much of authority over the rest of the world, Palestine will not be going through what they're going through. None of these countries will be going through. Even Zimbabwe, what a beautiful country. Look at what is happening in Zimbabwe. You know, Zimbabwe can turn the country around overnight. But it's what the sanctions and things that were imposed that have actually crippled Zimbabwe. And I'm not saying that everything Zimbabweans have done is correct, but at the same time, why not allow them to run their own countries? Why do you want to interfere? The problem we got is this, that unless we start coming together, and I'm hoping again, Brother Sefer, that with the creation of the BRICS, and some may be asking the question, why is BRICS not intervening? It's premature for them to intervene. They have to consolidate their support. They've got to strengthen their base before they decide to act. And that is what the United States wanted in the first place. They wanted them to intervene so that they'll weaken them on the other side against the Russian Ukraine. Now, because they are losing the war against the Russians in the Russia-Ukraine war, and because Russia has restricted the supply of gas and everything to Europe and others, who they can't depend on anymore, that is the reason why the concentration now, the focus is on Gaza, because of Gaza's gas mines and things of that nature. So that is not going to stop. You know, I've said before, and I want to say again, we have enough of everything everywhere in every country to live side by side happily and share. But when it comes to countries like the United States and Israel's, the Zionist state of Israel, they have one thing in common, and that is that they suffer from the superiority complex, where they believe anything that is not white is inferior. But they go even further than that. If you look at the Zionist state of Israel, they believe not even a white Jew is part of them. They are a handful of people that are the Zionists that they believe they are superior to even every other Jew. So there is this complex problem that the white community in the world seem to suffer from. That anything that's not white is inferior. And that they believe that you, the blacks, must be slaves. If you see what some of the Zionist statements that were made, they say Africans are barbaric, subhuman. That is exactly what they feel. That is exactly the sentiment they are expressing, is exactly what they think and what they believe in. That's in their mind. And they don't only say that about the Africans and things. They say that about anybody who's not part of their chosen one, which is the Zionists. So he repeatedly tried to draw the attention of the people that be very careful even when we are attacking Jews. Because those that are coming to the rescue of Palestine are Jewish citizens. Those all over the world that are coming together are also Jewish and Christian and many others. The problem is the Zionists themselves. So there is this complex that they all suffer from, that anything that's not white is inferior, and anybody that is inferior in their eyes, you can oppress, you can suppress, you can, you know, walk all over them. So they treat you like you are slaves, like you are nothing, absolutely worth no value. That is the crux of the problem that we're facing. And that is why they believe. But again, do they have the skills in their country? No, they take it from here. Do they have the natural resources? No, they take it from here. Everything that they want, they take it from here. You are good enough to come there and work there, contribute to their economy. But in their eyes, you are a slave. You've come there begging to them, not they came to you. This is how they operate. This is how they think. So until you deal with them and their superiority complex, okay, even in our own country, do you really believe those that gave relinquished power from apartheid to the liberated South Africa are resting? No, they're not. They will always tell you that they can do things better. Our people tend to fall in the trap with some of the things in it. But who says there's no corruption among the so-called superior nation or white nation? Who said there isn't? There's plenty of corruption. There is looting. It takes place. If you go to these countries, Brother Chaplain, there is rape. There is murder. There is all kinds of violence. You've got people living in poverty. Take United States of America. Go look at the number of homeless people there. Go look at the state of that country, how it's collapsing. But they got money to make their arms and ammunition and send it to Israel. and to Ukraine. So this is what it is about. It's all about them wanting to contain anybody that wants to oppose them. So unless countries come together and create this formidable force and start creating their own institutions like the creation of the BRICS, if that's the direction they're going to go, change the dependence on the US dollar, put restrictions on trading with the United States of America. You know, you got enough trading partners all over the world. Why do you need a country which got nothing, which took United States of America? United States of America. What does it mean? Where does this United States come? They've been taking away slowly, encroaching into other people's territories. So if we can just get out there and decide that, yes, we want to have nothing to do with them, you can bring them to their knees. Who says that United States is not in debt? They are seriously in debt. They could be just printing dollars overnight. You don't even know about it.
Fiat money, Ahmed. You're on a roll. Hey, you're on a roll, man. This man. Well, I'm looking at the screen here. A lot of messages coming in for you. Your good friend Farooq says, Assalamu alaikum. Regarding the high cost of airline tickets, we need to force the hand of the Minister of Tourism to, in turn, force the hand of Praveen Gordhan to get Mango Airlines flying high again. It is her duty to promote tourism, and she must wake up and as another airline would bring down the cost of airline tickets. You sit next to her, Ahmed, in Parliament. So please force her hand and be stern with her. Ahmed, your friend Farooq is angry this morning.
Brother Farooq, assalamu alaikum and jazakallah for your comment. You are correct. You know, but let's see where it starts, brother. Now, I have been raising eyebrows about the South African Airways. You know, coincidentally, I flew in South African Airways 2 days ago. And, you know, in the year 2000, South African Airways, the then board under the minister, Jeff Radebe, sold all 14 freehold aircraft of SAA. Sold all 14 freehold aircraft of SAA to SAFAir. How much did they sell it for, Brother Shafat and Brother Farooq? They sold each airplane for 35 million rand at the currency value at that time. How much? 35 million rand per aircraft. But did a deal with SAFAir after selling it to them for 35 million each that we will release it or re-rent it back from you for 44 million rand over a five-year period. Or saw that. Now that's the biggest joke you could ever find. You sold it for 35, you rented it back. In other words, SAFAir paid you 35 million, and you paid SAFAir 44 million rand to use it for the firm. You leased it back from it. In other words, you gave it to SAFAir for nothing. Each airplane, 14 airplanes, you gave it for nothing, and you gave them 9 million rand on each airplane as well. Gratis, free. Now tell me, can you ever have a situation of that nature? Now, South African Airways or government had a state-owned company also, which we have, SAA Technical, which maintains all the aircraft. So what reason can you have to justify the sale of your 14 pre-owned airplane, but rent the same 737-200s back from SAFAir? So SAFAir is flying high and South African Airways on the ground. So you look at the levels of corruption. Now, I've written to the minister. I've written about 20 times. I've posed questions in oral session. Very reluctant to give the information. Eventually, it was coming in bits and pieces. It was sold in 2000. Then I had to put another question and another question. Eventually, the answer is, this is how much it was sold for at that time. Now, my next question was, which haven't commented on, is now tell me who took the decision. He says the board. Now, normally a minister must approve it. Where was Jeff Adebe? Now we need to go deeper into see who really is SEPE. Really, we need to go deep into see who's SEPE. And we now need to go deeper to see who Lift Airline is, Brother Shepherd. There's a lot going on in this country that the ordinary South African knows nothing about. They're just handing this country and all its assets to everybody. This is what is happening. Now, after having done that and the response that came from the minister, I wanted to know of a report that would have emanated that gave rise to the decision to dispose of these aircraft. And I'll tell you what the response I get from the minister. We won't have that report because it only stays for about 7 years or 5 years and then they dispose of it. How do you like that one? So in other words, you are blocking anything further. What it really needs is a criminal investigation. This was Coleman Andrews, who was the CEO. I'm not even going into the issue of the amount of money he was paid, you know, as the CEO of SAA and the package when he left. But can you see the corruption there? Now, I ask you, you are a country. You have airspace. Why would you give more and more air routes to other airlines at the expense of your own airline? Surely you know that the more air routes you give to every other air carrier is going to have an effect on your local airline. And South African Airways was recognized as one of the finest airlines in the world. But the best part of it is, you take it, which is free, you hand it over, you give them money for it, 9 million per aircraft, okay? And then you're still flying in the same airline under SAA, but only this time it belongs to SAFE. Now, how do you explain that? So you can see the level of corruption, and that is why. Where did Air Lift come from? Where did it come from? We need to interrogate these things and establish what really happened so that criminal charges could be pursued against these people. And you would find, I can tell you almost guaranteed, that someone is benefiting, that someone got their one leg in that SAFE and these Lift. That is why they are running the show today in the airspace at the expense of South African Airways. And look at it at another angle as well. SAA is back. But look at now the questions that are arising of the takeover deal for 51 Rand. How much? 51 Rand, it is said that SAA was so brought in this equity partner, Takatso. We need to see who's involved in that. And let me tell you what's worse. SAA is not doing too much of local travel in our country. They're giving them different regional destinations and things of that nature. So there seems to be some level of collusion. The problem we got, Brother Farooq, is the people that are implicated one way or the other are people in high places, very influential people. And so it shows how long and how far and how deep the levels of corruption in South Africa go. It's exactly the same thing and no difference, I want to tell you. Did you not find something strange, Brother Shafiq? And all our listeners out there, Brother Farooq, you as well. Did you not find something very strange that there's very little or no load shedding? Christmas Day, Boxing Day, all these days? It looks like that the energy gets affected. I don't know whether there's an automatic button we press or something when you can give us a problem and when you don't give us a problem. No, just look at it seriously. Suddenly, there's no load shedding that's troubling anybody. There's no energy crisis. Let me tell you what that is all about, Brother Shafiq. And there's evidence to back that. The problem is that South Africa's got ample supply of quality coal for at least 300 years. But the people who run these coal mines are the very same people that have an interest in the renewable energy sector. So the question is, why do we need to take the coal and use it here when we own these mines? We can send it through outside and make mega bucks and give South Africans the crumbs of 2% royalty. Give the South Africans 2% royalty, make mega bucks because we own the coal mines, not the country doesn't own it anymore. We private people. So we're making money there and introduce renewable energy. Yes, so we'll make money renewable energy here and exporting the coal. But if we use the coal here, there's going to be no demand for renewable energy. And we won't be able to make mega bucks by exporting it because we're going to use it locally. So you see where this is coming from. While China is building an average of one new coal-fired power station every week, South Korea is building. France is recommissioning. US says they will only be getting rid of coal by 2054, if ever they will. It's probably misleading. But they very quickly want to give us $151 billion. Okay, well, loan it to us. You can see the hidden agenda behind this. And all in the name of global warming, they are saying.
Well, Amanda, you know, they are very selective. And when they switch you on and switch you off, that was a powerful point indeed. And Jazakallah khair for that. Dawood says, Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam and brother Shafaz Ahmad Khan, we witnessed the madness of war in Azerbaijan, Ethiopia, Palestine, Sudan, Syria, Ukraine, Yemen, and more, where ordinary people, Ahmad, were caught in the crosshairs, lost almost everything near and dear to them. We also saw Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam at firsthand the hypocrisy of many, the soft underbelly of prejudice, and the exposure of a global political system here and elsewhere as woeful and deficient. Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, I'm sad to say that we need to tighten our belts even tighter because worse is still to come. Ahmad, how you respond to Dawood there?
Yes, Jazakallah, brother Dawood, you are correct. These people are not going to sit back. And more importantly, when they feel they are losing grip, they're going to come back with a force. You are correct. Absolutely correct. We need to focus now that we have the opportunity that the world is awakened to the realities of what's happening in Palestine and how many other countries can become a Palestine. And the fact that more people are rising against their own governments in many parts of the world. And also due to the fact that all the propaganda that was propagated by these mainstream captured media is now all backfiring with not one iota of evidence. It clearly indicates that they've thus far lost their propaganda war. Now more and more people are understanding the villains that the US and the Zionist state of Israel and others are. So now it means plan A has not worked for them. They're going to come with plan B. And I can tell you, they will not stop. So yes, I think we need to strengthen, we need to consolidate the support with many countries. BRICS need to get its act going, you know, create a new currency, put in restrictions on the United States. Why is it that the world can't come together to deal with one monster, the United States, when the one monster, the United States, controls the entire world? It's exactly the Zionists, the same situation. The Zionists are a small number, just a small number, but they want to control the world. And they're succeeding because they control everything. Go into every sector, you'll see. They got their hands into it. Our people have got everything, all the wealth, they got the numbers, they got the resources, they got everything. But they're not in control of anything. This handful, you know, we repeatedly talking about this 2.2 billion Muslims. Yes, it's correct. 2.2 billion Muslims, but a handful of people are doing what they feel like doing. But what do we control as the 2.2 billion people? What kind of leaders have we have amongst the 2.2 billion people that can't even stand on their own, who are afraid, who cannot even come to the rescue of our Palestinian brothers and sisters? What kind of? In their own countries, they're having chaos and mayhem and division caused by the West and others. And they can do nothing about it. Yeah. So that's the problem is you got everything, but you control nothing.
Hmm. Yeah, that's
what you need.
Another point you've emphasized there, you can do nothing. Hey, it's a shocker. Umar says, Assalamu alaikum. I do not miss this program for anything. Sunday, it is my favorite. He says, Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, Bruce Chef, the future pointing to the technological advancement and other changes which depict a dystopian future in which humanity becomes reliant on technology and faces the potential consequences of its own actions and predicts what they are destined to do is a rough ride indeed. But look at what's happening, Ahmed, with Pax America, with Pax Britannica, and now it's going to be Pax Judaica, a victim of its own inherent paradoxes. We appear to be not for a clash of civilizations, but for an emerging polity that no one has yet able to predict. But maybe you, Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, as a believer in the Quran and also the Surah Al-Ars, by the declining day, lo, man is in the state of loss. Save those who behave or believe and do good works and exhort one another to truth and exhort one another to endurance. Ameen. Summa ameen. Ahmad, I'd like your comments because you're a genius of our time. Hey, Ahmad Umari is like your, he's a big fan of yours. Go ahead, Ahmad.
Jazakallah, brother Umar, for your kind words. Yes, let me start off by saying you are absolutely correct. We are in a state of loss. We are lost. There's no way. We've got no direction at the moment. While these handful of people are doing what they're doing, we are sitting there helpless. And we can do virtually nothing about it, despite the fact that Allah has given us everything. But we can't use it, you know, to exploit the situation or at least protect our own people. We cannot contribute positively to the upliftment of the Ummah, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided us with everything that we need. Some of the greatest skills, some of the greatest scientists ever born were Muslims. Some of the greatest legal experts in the world are Muslims. Some of the greatest mathematicians in the world are Muslims. So tell me, where are we heading? We're talking about technology, yes. The technological advancement that is happening right now. But are we in the forefront of it? No. Look at the technology of the Zionist state of Israel that as I am talking to you now, on my iPhone, they know what I'm talking about, who I'm talking to, what I am saying, everything. They got more control over my phone than I got over my phone. That is what is going on. And we are allowing it. Let me give you a good example, Brother Shafiq. Look at your South Africa. If you want to have an approach to boycotting, can you? Honestly speaking, can we? No, we can't. You know, I attended a function the other day of Arlene's. And there was about 60 or 80 of them there. And I see very nicely they decided, let's boycott Coca-Cola and we'll drink Kui. Who owns Kui? PepsiCo. So what difference does it make? We don't even know. We haven't even done enough work and research to establish the products that we have there. Who are really directly and or indirectly the owners of these things or producing these goods. We haven't even done that. But we have all the technology in the world to be able to do that. We're not doing it. We are lost. We got no direction whatsoever. So on the one hand, you're saying you'll boycott that product. You don't even know. The other product that you're using is also coming from them. I was saying to the people in Cape Town, you know, no. And of course, I'm guilty of it as well. I must be honest with you. I decided I'm not buying no Coke. I went and bought Jive. And what did I find out now? After buying it, Jive also belongs to PepsiCo. So you can see our people, even though we've had How many times have you seen your media houses, brother? Small media houses becoming a... And then they are bullied into by the big guys to sell, and they sell them the interest to the big organizations. Many of these community newspapers and things you'll see have sold out. So they're taking it, and what we're not realizing is while you're getting some financial benefit from it, that they have taken control of it. And that is why we find ourselves in the situation we find. So whether you talk about the latest technology, the fourth industrial revolution that we're talking about, the advancement that countries are making, let's ask ourselves how many Muslim countries are moving in that direction or in the forefront or are leading this. We are lagging behind. That's the problem. And when we do get them, we will still use the very same countries. Go into many countries and see how many of them are using Israeli cyber technology. Go and see that. That is the problem we're facing. So we are really, but at the same time, I want to say, Brother Shafiq, it has now created an environment, a conducive environment, an opportunity for our people to come together, sit at the table, and now identify all these areas that we need to venture into, to take back control, to take back what is rightfully ours, and identify those that will want to invest in producing cool drinks, soft drinks, those that will be going into the media sector, those that will be going into the security sector, because your airports are all are protected by companies that are Israeli linked, okay, into the food sector, into all the different food products, whatever it is, so we can become self-sufficient. And when you are self-sufficient, only when you are self-sufficient are you able to take on the likes of the USA and others and the Zionist state of Israel and others. Otherwise, it's very difficult.
Good point there, Ahmed. And Ismail says, Assalamu alaikum. Really enjoying the chat this morning. Really learned a lot. Meanwhile, Ahmed Mandura, Sheikh Imam, the global south faces increasing alienation, whilst Russia and China, or the Chinese policies, may well consolidate. This opens the scenes for the Islamic world, Ahmed, to align itself with the non-Western geopolitical axis. The unique treatment of Israel in its actions against Gaza, signaling the end of the West superiority, forcing it to confront moral and political decline. I mean, this is a very good point indeed, because 99% or 98% of the world is seeing America for what it is and seeing Israel what it's all about. And not forgetting all the other lackeys of Britain, France, and so forth. They are all exposed. And it seems that this shift towards, being in company of the Chinese and the Russians and so forth will make a big dent in the way the Westerners or America and his lackeys used to run the world, Ahmed.
I'm not going to necessarily agree when you say 98% of the country realizes it. And I'm not going to agree when you say Islamic, because what Islamic country is we talking about? We have Muslim countries, we don't have Muslim countries. We have a handful of them. So the 98% must exclude these so-called Islamic countries, because they have already been blinded. They have already fallen into the trap until, of course, the Americans who know how to divide and rule will someday, when these people learn, and that's the very hard way, they'll no longer be there in existence. That's the problem. If you look at the number of so-called Islamic or Muslim countries that are no longer under Muslim rule, let's go back into history and look at how many of them were under Muslim rule and are no longer. So our problem is our own people. But I agree with the brother that the creation of the BRICS, there is a risk as far as BRICS is concerned, which is a concern, that not everybody in BRICS are aligned to the principles of what President Putin is talking about. of Islamic financing system, social upliftment for people, no domination by one over the other, a more equal society. You know, these are some of the things that President Putin has been talking about. Now tell me, Saudi Arabia to be part of BRICS, and look at their vision, their ideology, their way of life that this new king wants to introduce and is introducing. You can look at the direction that they are moving in. Look at what is happening with Egypt. Okay. Look at what is happening with other countries. So tell me, honestly speaking, India for that matter, look at the atrocities that are committed by the Indian government. So there is a level of fear as to whether they can achieve what the objective is and the goal of a better world. And in order to do that, it means some of these people will have to change the way they conduct themselves and change the way they do things. That goes for India, Saudi Arabia, and many others. Will they be willing to do that? Are they coming there influenced by the West of the United States of America? Are they coming there to come and influence BRICS to try and make BRICS move into their direction? That is the question we need to ask. And that is what I think the BRICS have to consider very seriously when they decide on who to accept and who not to accept. Now, India plays a major role in BRICS, but look at the human rights violation of the Indian itself. So how on earth are they going to contribute positively to taking on the United States? Because they're on the fence, they're on both sides anyway.
Yes, Ahmad, I'm looking at this message here, and it's from Rahim. He says, Assalamu alaikum. Ahmad, the reality of the matter is that the alarm bells are ringing. The question, Ahmad, is who is listening, and can anything be done to stem the decline? All bets are off, Ahmad, but it seems clear, given the strained qualities of mercy, munificence, and magisterial supremacy, the unipolar world is pretty much over. Ahmad, how you respond to Rahim there?
Well, Brother Rahim, Allah is not asleep. Allah is awake. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give us direction. And our people can do what they want. They can brag about all the money, the wealth that they got. They can have friends in high places. But so with all their plans, Allah is the greatest of all planners. So, and I'll tell you, Brother Shafiq, let me give you very simple, ideal example of what happened to me yesterday. I picked up a car from the yard and decided to go to, I was invited to the West Coast, Frydenburg, for the picket. And I forgot to see the amount of petrol in the car. And I just went. And I got 54 kilometers, and the yellow light, the oil petrol light came on. There is no garages, there's no shops, there's absolutely nothing on the way, Brother Shepherd. Absolutely nothing. And there's 54 kilometers to the nearest town. And the light has come on. And I'm panicking. I made a few phone calls. All right, people said they were trying to identify somebody that will come. I don't know what to do. I come to some boards, I see it showing some 20 kilometers this side and 23 the other side, the gravel road. Don't know what to take. I carried on, just making dua to Allah that I can reach my destination. And true as God, where the petrol came into that vehicle to take me into Hopefield to a garage, only Allah knows. I made calls, I looked for everything. Nobody could come to my rescue, but Allah came to my rescue. I managed to land in Hopefield with no problem at all.
Wow.
So
what a...
all I'm saying is that when there's Allah, you have everything. So people can do what they want. You know, Allah is opening our eyes to what is happening in Palestine. He's saying that all of you are fast asleep. You have not been taking anything seriously for all these years. You've been letting grip in every sector. Look at the issue of trade. You've let it go. Media, you've let it go. You've allowed people to oppress you all the time. Now I'm waking you up for the last time. There's an opportunity to see exactly what is happening all over the world and come together. I've given you everything, but you're using nothing to benefit your own people. I'm showing it to you. Wake up and do the right thing. That is the message that is there. If you saw what the American said, he said, thank you, Gaza, for the first time you've liberated us in America. Can you imagine? That is what a Christian brother in America is saying. Thank you, Gaza, you have liberated us. We, for the first time, we are able to rise. And that's the message that is going. What is happening in Palestine will happen all over the world, Allah is saying. Stand up now. It's now or never. That is the message.
Powerful indeed, Ahmad. They're already, giving us food for thought. And looking at this message from Babu. Babu says, great show indeed, Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam. Allah bless you. And what a lovely story. I already chuckled and said, this man is connected to Allah. Well, that's brilliant indeed. And he says, Ahmad, the West's misguided acceptance of the actions of the Israeli government has to end for a just and a lasting period so that peace can prevail. The horrors that have been visited on the people of Gaza and increasingly the West Bank by the Israeli force and by illegal settlers have been playing out in international media outlets. More than 20,000 people in Gaza, mostly non-combatants, have been killed. The figures could be more. But this, Ahmad, is a turning point. It's a watershed moment. And as you said, we should have more implicit faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be in the straight and narrow, and we shouldn't be emulating the West and being consumers for all the harams that they are giving us. But we should come back to the simplicity of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Ahmad, as you say, himmat na haro, we will win. From the river to the sea, free, free Palestine. Ahmad, that's a lovely message from Babu.
Indeed, my brother, free, free Palestine. Palestine shall be free. Free, free Palestine. Palestine will be
free.
Inshallah. I think you are absolutely correct. There is a message loud and clear. It's a wake-up call for us. Look at the number of people that have sacrificed their lives. If that alone cannot make us think and put us in the correct direction right now, then nothing will. There's no point in sitting in our homes and saying, so many Palestinians died, so many of our brothers and sisters of Gaza have died. Their death must mean something to each and every one of us all over the world, particularly the 2.2 billion Muslims all over the world. But we need to, charity begins at home. We need to start right here. We have people that are part and parcel of organizations that promote Zionism in this country. Right now, we call ourselves Muslims, but we have them. We have, just because they want to fill their stomachs, they will do it at any cost. There are those that are there trying to the Zionists, but we are doing very little or nothing about them. I think we need to start with our people, every one of them. We have a responsibility to even isolate ourselves from those that are part of the oppressors. That is the least we can actually do. We need to give them guidance. We need to give them wisdom and direction. If they don't take it, isolate ourselves from them. Because if you're supporting any organization that supports and promotes the Zionist way of life, then it simply means that our people will continue to be oppressed all over the world. And that is what is happening. Our greatest enemies are our own people. And this is a wake-up call. So the death of one child in Gaza, if it has not moved you or touched you or made you want to rethink the way you're conducting yourself, then the question you need to ask yourself is, who really am I? Who really? You know, I once said to somebody, yes, you are correct. It's very, very important to make your salah five times a day. But making your salah alone does not make you into a good Muslim. You know, I'm not an expert on religion, but my little understanding told me that making your salah alone is not going to make you into a good Muslim. Okay? There are lots and lots of things that you need. Islam is a way of life. Okay? But exactly the same thing. Yes. So when somebody is going to try to justify it because I go to the mosque, but I can belong to an organization and support an organization that is supporting the Zionist state of Israel, then the question that arises is, what is the purpose of that salah that you're making? What is the purpose of it? So I think it's a wake-up call for our people, what our brothers and sisters are going through. And here it is, if a archbishop in America can make the statement, you understand that Gaza has freed him, has freed his people there, then what does it need, or what do we need to do to change the way our own people, including our so-called Muslim countries, always be very careful, we can call them Muslim countries, like Mufti AK says, they're Muslim but not Islamic countries. That is the difference. And that's why I say, what do you need to do to get them to wake up and understand the realities of what is going on, not just in Palestine, but all over the world? It's been going on for so long, 75 or 76 years of oppression by the Palestinian people alone has not woken up any of these in these Muslim countries. Haven't woken them up. They haven't realized anything. It needed to take what is happening in Gaza right now for the world to better understand what is happening. Today, more people understand what the real war is all about in Palestine than they've ever in their lives. And that is came at a price of almost 30,000 innocent Palestinians. 30,000 innocent Palestinians. Babies died. Okay. Babies, women couldn't give birth, Brother Shafa, to these babies because there was no anesthetic available, and the babies died. That's how bad the situation is. And even that hasn't waken up our people. So what is going to wake them up?
Powerful, powerful thoughts there. Ahmed? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I know. You know, you're already a man that really feels the pain of the Ummah. And Allah bless you. The quality that you have is really true. And many times that many people have told me that they called upon Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam. He was there to help them. He went the extra mile. I know he's done so much for so many people. Ahmed, you know what? You'll be the highest stages. He's waiting for you. Perhaps your parting words, Ahmed.
Yes, Brother Shabbat, something very important that I want to talk about. Now, I was called to attend to this matter urgently the other day, and I have intervened. Our brothers and sisters that are going for Hajj, inshallah, or going for Umrah and things, I want to urge you to be very careful with the organizations that you undertake this journey. You know, I've had this 31 people, in fact, it was 35 that were stranded at the Cape Town International Airport that were supposed to go for Umrah last week. They paid all their monies only to find there was a problem. The tickets were cancelled because the agent that they worked with had not paid in monies. I have communicated with him. I have communicated with some of the people. I met with them. I've handed the matter over to the Commercial Crime Unit who are investigating the matter. So I just want to urge our brothers and sisters, please ensure that when you do, you go with reputable organizations and make sure that you are kept abreast, not till the last moment when you are traveling and you are then found at the airports and your tickets are not even being paid for and things of that nature. So be very, very careful because many of you, and I know many of our people, save their entire lifetime for this journey that they want to go on. And you know, it was very disappointing what actually happened. I met some of them, Brother Shafiq. You know, you can see they were tearful when I met them at the Mowbray cemetery 2 days ago. But the matter is receiving attention. It is with the police. But again, I want to urge, just be very careful, do your homework, do your investigation. I know sometimes even the investigation is not good enough, because many of these people say they've heard others went and said it was fine. One or two of them may have gone before it was fine. Circumstances changes as well. So please be very, very careful on this journey that we want to go for, inshallah, so that we don't find ourselves in a very difficult position where you've paid your life savings, you've made sacrifices, you've taken your leave, you've done everything, and there you are stranded at the airport. But what is worse is that when some of these institutions and organizations have been in the public domain, in the media, for the wrong reasons, for doing exactly the same thing for long periods of time, why is it that we still choose to be part of these organizations and go with these organizations? We need to ensure that we share this knowledge with people. So we have a responsibility. If I know that going with a particular agent is a problem, and if I know family that wants to go, and if I don't tell that family to be careful, then I must also take responsibility when that family member is goes there and has great difficulty or does not end up going there, because I knew certain things and I held it and I kept it to myself. So we have a responsibility. So that's my plea to our brothers and sisters. You can have lots of them coming in now, with lot of them advertising, with lots of offers. So don't fall into a trap. Rather go with a reputable agent so that you know that you are safe, you are secure, and you'll go, inshallah, and come back, you know. That, I think, is my plea to our people.
JazakAllah khair, Abada. You have a, mashallah, beautiful day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. اهلا وسهلا
مرحبا. Marcus Sahaba Online Radio. Empowering the Ummah. Welcome, yeah.